Welcome to the Single to Soulmate podcast, your weekly dose of inspiration and guidance on the path to finding true love. I'm your host, Tanya Alberti, a spiritual relationship and manifestation coach, here to help support you on your journey towards attracting a soul-aligned partnership. Each week, we'll explore powerful insights, practical tips, and transformative techniques that will empower you to create the love life you've always dreamed of. Are you tired of feeling stuck in your love life? Do you long for a deep and meaningful connection with a partner who truly understands and supports you? Well, you're in the right place. The Single to Soulmate podcast is designed specifically for those who are ready to break free from old patterns, heal their hearts, and manifest a soulmate relationship. And as your guide on this journey, I'll be sharing my years of experience and expertise in the realms of spiritual growth, personal development, and conscious manifestation. I'll help you tap into your intuitive awareness, embrace your authenticity, and show up as your best and highest self. Together, we'll delve into the power of self-love, healing from past wounds, and harnessing the principles of manifestation to attract the love you desire. Each episode of the Single to Soulmate podcast is carefully crafted to provide you with actionable insights and practical strategies. You'll gain valuable tools to navigate the challenges of modern dating, enhance your communication skills, and cultivate a deep soul-level intimacy with your partner. We'll explore topics like setting healthy boundaries, building self-confidence, and trusting your intuition in matters of the heart. So whether you're single in a new relationship or just navigating the complexities of a long-term partnership, this podcast is your trusted companion. You'll find inspiration, motivation, and guidance to support you on your quest for love. Together, we'll transform your relationship with yourself and others, creating a foundation of love, trust, and mutual growth. So if you're ready to embark on a transformative journey towards finding your soulmate, make sure to hit that subscribe button and join me every week on the Single to Soulmate podcast. Together, we'll unlock the secrets to attracting a love that aligns with your truest self. Get ready to manifest the relationship of your dreams. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Single to Soulmate. Today, I have a beautiful, very special guest with me, Nicole Starbuck. She is a psychic empath, a quantum energy healer, a spiritual mentor, and a life coach. And she's here to share her wisdom on how to ignite your intuition, supercharge your psychic skills, manifest soulmate love, all the things. So as we dive into my favorite topics, intuition and relationships, manifestation, I'd love to welcome Nicole. So Nicole, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, I'm thrilled you're here. So being that we kind of swim in the same circles as to what we do with our clients, I do a lot of similar things as you do, but I would love to know about how you kind of got started on your journey as the psychic empath and the quantum energy healing that you do. Tell me a little bit about that and how you got started.
Yeah, thank you. So I first discovered my spiritual gift, which is psychic intuition, when I was 9 years old. I was coming out of school to get picked up, and just out of nowhere, I had this random thought that a bird was going to poop on me, and it, sure enough, it did right then and there. And so, one, that was really disgusting, and two, it was kind of amazing that I had just predicted this. And then ever since then, I started having these predictive dreams and these premonitions and these visions and things that would come true. And at that age, it was kind of like cool and also scary because I didn't know what to do with this information. And I also didn't have a support system in place to develop that further, coming from my religious background. And so I really just, you know, brushed it under the rug and hid my gifts for many years, which ended up for me, I ended up with a lot of anxiety because I would get these premonitions and feel like I couldn't control what was happening to me and couldn't control the outcome. And then I ended up having a lot of depression because I wasn't in alignment with my gifts. And then I ended up having chronic illness because of having anxiety and depression. So everything kind of built into each other. And then when I got to be in my early 20s, I thought I was doing everything right. Go to school, get good grades, get a good job, get married, right? Start having kids, that kind of thing. And it all kind of came crashing down on me. And that was my first wake-up call or first spiritual awakening that something needed to shift. So I did personal growth and development for several years after that, and it worked pretty well for me. But then I realized I was missing something. I was missing the spiritual component. I was missing the soul. And so I got all in into the soul journey and really started developing my psychic intuition and my gifts and really just using that to heal myself and heal others. And as I was doing that, I was doing professional psychic readings for several years. I realized that a lot of the people that were coming to me were also highly empathic and just hadn't realized it yet. And so I wanted to give them an opportunity to develop their skills too. So I created a psychic school for people to develop their intuition and learn healing abilities from for themselves. Yeah.
Yeah, that's so funny. Our stories are quite similar. I discovered in my first attempt to sit down and meditate, and I wasn't quite as young as nine, but I had always been interested in like the afterlife. And even as a kid, I was like picking books out of the library and stuff about paranormal stuff, everything all the way growing up through high school. And when I was about 18, I sat down to meditate one day and connected to a discarnate spirit. And I was like, what is going on? And it like totally freaked me out. But I like just shut everything down, and it wasn't until my spiritual waking too that I started doing all these things. So I totally relate to that, and it just cracks me up that you're like, oh, I was attracting other people that are empathic. Well, of course, of course you are. It totally makes sense, right?
Yeah.
So, when did you really decide that this was it after these experiences you decided that your purpose was to like empower other people to tap into their intuition? Was it just because you had found that you were attracting other people that needed help with this? Just kind of, or did you get like a download that was like, oh, this is it.
Yeah, it kind of came in two waves. So the first wave came after the first spiritual awakening. I was still dealing with the aftermath of waking up in the ER with a panic attack, and I would still wake up feeling like, gosh, I just want all this pain to end because I was just taking on everyone's feelings, not realizing I was a highly sensitive person, not realizing that I was empathic. I knew that I was psychic, but I wasn't doing anything about it. And so I wasn't processing the energy out of my system. And I was just thinking, like, gosh, I just want this to end. And I would just get this thought, like almost like spirit coming in or my higher self coming in saying, you're destined for greatness. There's purpose in the pain. Like, keep going. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to keep going. And I knew in that moment, I mean, it was very distinct. I remember being in the shower and this thought coming through. And I knew that my mission, my purpose was to become the best version of myself to help others become the best version of themselves. But I didn't know how to do it. So I got into life coaching, which was how I started. I got then into self-care coaching and holistic self-care coaching, and it was kind of like leading up to that. But it wasn't until the second spiritual awakening I was really drawn to anything with the word soul. So there was this Facebook group called Visionary Soul, which I joined, and then they were having a retreat called Soul on Fire, which then I went to, and it didn't make sense, but I was following the nudge. Like, to be completely honest, I couldn't afford this retreat, but I'm like, I'm supposed to be there. So I go, and one of the facilitators says to me, you're psychic. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, like, you're not supposed to know that. That's my secret. Like, how did you know? Like, oh my gosh.
You're like, I'm in
And
the
yeah,
closet.
she helped me reactivate that. She did some light language with me, and we got that back online. And then it was in that process of doing the professional readings, I just kept noticing people were coming to me with this deep-rooted anxiety of like wanting to know what's going to happen, of needing to have the answers. A lot of the questions that would come up would be about love, right? Is this the right person for me? When am I going to find the one? Like, what can I do about this trauma that keeps repeating out in my relationships? And I just wanted to be able to address the root cause. So I got this download for the psychic school 3 years ago, and it's been this whole journey of getting it up and running because life and other things come up. But we finally created, and now we have these students going through it, and it's really amazing to see the shifts that happen when we stop looking for wisdom outside of ourselves, even from another psychic, and really start doing that for ourselves.
Absolutely. You're preaching to the choir. Like I like, and it's so funny because we all go through, like, I think as people who are already more tapped in, you know, whether you've had a spiritual awakening or you're just naturally more psychic and aware as a kid or whatever, I think that's all part of our journey, right? Is learning that we have all those answers within us. And that, you know, I find so many people just like you that, you know, would come and I started too doing professional readings, doing mediumship readings and card readings and things like that initially before I really had a clue what I was supposed to be doing. And so many people were coming and like wanting to know the big things, like money and relationships. Those were like the two big things. And as I was led into what I'm doing now, similarly to you, I started with one thing, I went to another thing, I went to another thing, and as it was kind of like guiding me in the path to ending up to doing intuition and relationships. So I know as you were doing readings and things like that, what are your thoughts? Because I like, you know, I swim in the circle of relationships. So what are your thoughts along the lines of how important it is to teach people how to use their intuition in relationships, and then how also that helps with manifesting?
Oh, I love this. So one of the questions that would come up a lot is this the right person for me or not? And what it really came down to, and this is not usually what they wanted to hear, but if there is any doubt in your mind, one, where does that doubt come from? Is that rooted in some sort of belief that you are unworthy of love, or that you don't believe you deserve to have good things? That's what we want to look at. But two, if there are red flags that you are ignoring, that you are trying to make this work or make this the quote unquote right person for you, that's actually what we want to look at, is why are we brushing things under the rug rather than speaking your truth? So what I would always tell people is the right, quote unquote, right person for you is what you decide, but you have to set that energetic boundary of what you are and aren't willing to accept in life. And then put that person through a filter of yes, either they are in alignment with that, or no, they are not. Because you can't change or control that other person. But if you're coming to me and you're asking me if this is the right person for you, then probably not, because you would know, because you would already be in alignment, right? So.
Exactly. Exactly. I totally agree with you. I love that you brought up too, both, you know, the inner woundings, because I talk about that a lot, you know, that sense of unworthiness. So is it, and that's one thing I talk about a lot, is it intuition, is it insecurity? Like, is it your own unworthiness, your own sense of lack, you know, that we all grow up with? We all have our own issues, be it, you know, your abandonment wounds, or, you know, the sense of I'm not worthy of love, versus really tapping in and knowing that it's clearly your intuition. And so many people flat out ignore it, like flat out ignore it. Like they know, you know, but it's that sense of unworthiness that holds them to whatever person they're with. And I see it all the time in my clients, and I'm sure you see it in yours as well. It's like the fear of, well, I don't want to be alone, so I'd rather be with this person. So I'm going to ignore all these things, even though my intuition is screaming at me that this person is not right for you.
Yeah.
I mean, I did it myself. I did it myself. You know, back in my very first marriage, you know, like my intuition the whole entire time was saying, oh no, you know, this guy is not the person that you're supposed to be with. And I ignored it because I went through all that stuff with insecurity. But before I healed myself, I had to go through that experience, right? But that was part of all of it. So it is so, like, I wish I could just like grab people sometimes. Like, you need to listen to yourself, listen to yourself. So where do you feel that, you're married, right? You're married, you have kids.
I am married with kids. Yeah, my husband and I have been together for 15 years, married for 13, and our kids are almost 3 and then 10 months.
Oh, so you've got little ones.
Wow. Little ones, yeah. We waited quite a long time. If you kind of look at the trajectory, you're like, gosh, is she, like, how old is she? She's been together.
Oh, my gosh, not at all. I would never think that.
We met when I was 18. We got married when I was 20, and he's 2 years older than me, or a year and a half older than me. So we got married at 20 and 21, waited 10 years to have kids, and then now they're almost three, and then 10 months.
Wow. So how did you know? Because I think this is my other question I get from people. How did you know that? I'm assuming you feel like this is a soulmate connection, definitely soul family connection, right? Mm-hmm. So how did you know that at such a young age? You know, was this a psychic intuition thing for you? Or was it just like, did you have to work through any of that stuff? Like I was talking about, like my own worthiness, like I married a guy just because he wanted to be with me. I wasn't even into him. Like I wasn't even into him, but I was so deeply stuck in my sense of unworthiness that I was just ignoring my intuition all over the place. And even after we were married, like the first 3 months we were married, I remember sitting on my bed thinking, what the heck did I do? Yeah. You know, what did I do?
Yeah.
So where did your intuition come into play? Do you remember?
So this was before, like I was really tuned into my intuition. So I was just an anxious, hot mess. But I remember the morning before I met my husband, I was walking across campus to the dorm. We lived in the same dorm, which is how we met. And I remember distinctly thinking, you need to stay single for a year or you're going to end up married. And then I go call my mom, and my friend knocks on the door, and she invites me to go play a game. And I said, okay, I'll be right down. And I'm thinking, I hope there's some cute guy there that, cool, we can hook up and whatever. And I go down there, and there's my husband. He's like the only cute guy there. I think he was the only guy there. And I don't know if you've ever heard of the game Apples to Apples, but we kept picking each other's cards. And I thought, oh, I was joking. Oh, it's a sign. It's destiny. It's meant to be. And I'm just throwing stuff out there, being silly. And then later he tells me his last name is Starbuck. And I throw a joke out there. I thought, oh, I'm just going to marry you for your last name. So I'm like making these jokes, but also like, I guess speaking it into existence. And then I just felt this really deep connection. And at the time, I didn't understand soulmates and twin flames and all that. And I'm sure you talk about this, but there's a difference between a twin flame and a soulmate. And they're not necessarily, a soulmate is not necessarily the one just because you have a connection. And a twin flame is not necessarily the one just because you're two halves of the same soul. And anyway, so I definitely felt a connection. And it wasn't until later that I realized how, even though I felt that strongly in the moment, you're young, you're in love. It was after we got married, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, did I make a mistake? What did I do? Right. And then there's all this tendency to want to withdraw and like self-sabotage and not receive love, which was my own wounding that I was moving through. And like it's been this beautiful progression over the past 13 years, 15 years, now that we've been together 15 years, married for 13. That I've come to realize that anytime I push something away, it wasn't about him. It was about my own like lack or willingness to receive. And this like supposed mistake, because getting married young, everyone warns you like, oh, that's what, don't do that. It's such a mistake, right? That was my choice. And it is still my choice. And I can continue to make that choice. And every time I find myself questioning, was this really the right thing? Like 15 years after the fact. It comes down to like, I believe in my heart and my soul that there is a reason that we met, that there's a reason that we're together. And I see our kids and how they're a beautiful reflection and testament to that. And that I feel that we're playing out and resolving like age old, like hundreds and thousands of years old soul contracts. And that if we can get them, resolved in this life, we don't have to keep reincarnating and playing out the same issues. So.
Same play.
Long answer
Right.
to your question, but I kind of had an inkling, but I wasn't quite in that place of yes, this is strong intuition. It was more like I was speaking it before I realized what I was doing. This is long before I learned about the law of attraction and
Yeah,
how
because you were so
the law
young.
of, yeah.
It's so interesting to me because people have such different experiences, but I love that all the things you were mentioning about how, as you were moving through and as you were, going through this together, it's something that I think, some people know right away. Like I knew right away when I met my now husband. But we still have that stuff we have to work through. And I think that's what people get confused about when, you talk about soulmate connections, and obviously twin flames are very different. But soulmate connections with people, because I tell people you can have more than one soulmate. You can have soulmates, family, friends, and it's
I
not
didn't know
just a
that.
one
I
and
thought it was
done.
like the one.
Right. It's not just a one and done. People think it is, right? And I think as we, soulmate relationship is healing, right? It's you healing together and you're moving through things together. And I've seen that in my own relationship, how things are so vastly different now than they were in the beginning about just the consciousness. In our partnership has grown so much, and it's amazing, and you see that, you see, okay, we're working through, whether it's karmic stuff or other lessons and things like that that you learn and grow together, which I think is what makes soulmate relationships so beautiful. And when it comes to like that intuitive connection and no, really tapping in and knowing yourself and being connected to your higher self and really listening and trusting that, that things are always working out the way they're meant to. I think it's amazing when I find other people who are in those kind of partnerships too, because so many people come, they're like, oh yeah, that doesn't exist. It doesn't, that's not true. That doesn't work. I'm like, okay, well, you continue to say that, you're going to continue to speak that into existence. So, okay, what do you want? Right. So, I know that a lot of what you do now, like I know you mentioned the psychic school and things that you work with your clients in different modalities to you know, enhance your intuition and psychic abilities and things. I know you do a whole lot of things, Akashic record readings and hypnosis, which I do as well, light language, past life regression. These are all things I do too, which is so cool. Reiki and the star codes and things. So tell me how you incorporate that into your work with your clients.
Yeah. So I love to start with this framework of where you are now, where would you like to be? And then what's the slow moving energy or resistance? I don't use struggle, blocks, barriers. What's the slow moving energy? Because at least there's still some movement happening here as to why you don't already have or are those things now. And I find most of the time it's rooted in childhood. And then you touched on it. Like the biggest topics are health, wealth, and love, right? Like everyone wants more money, better health, and more intimate connections. So, but why is it we don't already have that now? When we go back, usually it'll be something rooted in childhood and or something in their ancestral line, like it's something that's been passed down from generation to generation and or something from a past life as to why this is coming up in your current life. And we'll go through and we'll energetically address those, combining any number of the modalities. So one of my gifts and one of the things I do well is not necessarily like, okay, we're going to do just Reiki today. But it's like, I was doing hypnosis before I realized I was doing hypnosis.
That's what you're doing.
I go to get certified. I'm like, oh, I'm already doing this. I've been doing it for years. And I go to do Reiki and I'm like, oh, I've been doing this for years, like through light language. And so I bring in different modalities depending on what the person is needing. And what I find too is someone will come to me for, say, business. They want to grow their spiritual business. They're like, how are we going to grow our spiritual business when you have this money story or this love story that's telling you that you're not worthy of accepting wealth and abundance? Like, we got to go there first and then address the root cause. So everything's connected. So it's not a one size fits all approach, but that's the basic framework that I take people through. And then we fine tune the modality or fine tune, you know, what we're going to play with the inner child or the ancestral line, depending on their unique situation.
Yeah. Perfect. Cause I work similarly, and it's just so interesting because there's always something, you know, there's always something there. So whether it's past life stuff, whether it's, you know, your childhood stuff, there's always something, because if you're 100% right, like if you don't already have it, what it is that you desire, that there's something there, obviously. Right.
Yeah.
So how, for my listeners who may not understand, what is your, how can I say this? Let me just help them understand how healing emotional blocks and things like that nature can really open up that path to attracting abundance and love in their life.
Yeah. So I always look at the chakra centers. I start from the bottom up. And for anyone that's not familiar with the chakras, chakra is Sanskrit for wheel. So there's these like energy wheels within your body going from the bottom of your spine to the top of your head. So we look at, you know, your sense of identity. Is there anyone that's speaking into your life that maybe doesn't need to speak into your life? Are we caught up on being like the good girl? That's something I see a lot of, that really like creates resistance towards embracing our sensuality and our relationships and our intimacy. We look at the sacral chakra, which is our creativity and sensual creative power and our divine feminine power. And if there's any sort of trauma there, any history of violence or abuse, that's going to be held and stored here in the area. So we want to go in there and disconnect those connections so that we can invite love in that way physically. And then going in into the solar plexus. And I see this a lot, high achieving women that want to have a sense of control and want to be able to have all the answers and like, in a sense, dominate the men, but they also want to be held and supported. So these are two seemingly opposing energies. So how are we going to reconcile that? We get into that area. And then the big one's the heart. We hold a lot of the pain and trauma from our parents here in the heart. And then something we talk about a lot is we tend to create in our romantic relationships a duplication of whichever parent wounded us the most, because we're trying to subconsciously heal and resolve that. So say we have a daddy that wasn't there for us, we then attract men that aren't emotionally available because we're trying to fix or resolve this subconsciously, not realizing that we can't fix or resolve that. We need to just be open to the love. So a lot of the heart work that we do is going in, and like I look at the heart like a magnet, right? Calling in But you have to be open. So we go in and energetically open the heart, amplify the magnet to call in, and we do a lot of shifting and clearing there as well. And we go up into the throat chakra for them to be able to speak their truth. I often find the throat is deeply connected into the sacral chakra, that power, of like, this is actually who I am and what I want, and let me express that. They're very deeply connected. And then the third eye, which is the intuition piece. This is the thing that I get in like the trainings that I do for psychic schools. They go, I want to activate my third eye. And like, okay, we got to do everything below that first. Before we get to the third eye, or it's not going to, you're going to be constantly questioning it. We don't want to be questioning. We want to be deeply rooted in our wisdom centers. Right. And then we get to the crown, of course, which is our connection to the divine. So I hope that answers your question. Like,
what's yeah, no, it's beautiful. It perfectly explains it perfectly. Yeah. I love it. And I think it's, I think that is everything you said is so absolutely true. So just for, like, I know, I'm sure, I'm aware of probably a lot of the things that you do, but what are some techniques, like, if you were to share something that very basic technique that would help people like release some of their fears and anxieties around the things that hold them back, you know, whether it's whether they're trying to manifest, whether it's the relationship with the money or whatever. How, what do you, is there anything that you can instruct, like just, you know, briefly, a simple technique to release any fear and anxiety through spiritual practice?
Yeah. I've lately been really honing in on this idea of the energetic signature, which is, where do you feel truth in your body? Because so much of this questioning, you called it insecurity and intuition. And I work in a very similar duality, which is it anxiety or intuition? Okay, because that was my history, much of my intuition was coming through as anxiety because I didn't know how to process it. And so when we are faced with this decision, say, is this the right person for me or not? Should I stay in this relationship or not? Is this the right job for me or not? You know, we're kind of on that fence. We're like, we're not being really clear with what we want, but we have an idea, but we're not, you know, really sure. And so what I've been inviting people to do is really to go into their body and just tuning into their body and to ask themselves a very simple question, unrelated to whatever it is that they're calling in or wanting to ask themselves, is something, for example, is the sky blue, or the sky is blue? And I feel truth, and this may be different for you, but I feel truth right between my heart and my solar plexus, just right here. Right here in this area. And then, is the sky red? Yes or no? And immediately I want to shake my head. No, like, no, it's not. Right? But yours might be different. So I have people that feel truth like right in their pelvis, people that feel truth right here in their heart, people that feel truth right here in their head. It's like a pulsing in the third eye. So there's no right or wrong. There's only what's true for you. And then we want to see if this is a pattern, right? So if I were to ask you, the sky is green, again, I feel it right here in between my heart and my solar plexus. And then if I were to say the sky is purple, or not the sky, the grass is purple. No, I'm like immediately shaking my head. So then we know exactly what is your, because we want to bring it back to the body, because we've been taught, well, it's not safe to be in our bodies. We can't trust our bodies. Therefore, we can't trust ourselves, because I'm in my body. So why would I believe anything that I'm wanting to create, or anything I'm wanting to manifest, or any relationship I'm wanting to call into my life, right? We can get back in our bodies, start trusting our bodies, and realizing when we get those gut responses or those heart responses, that we can actually lean into that and see what that's saying.
Absolutely. And it's so funny because I do a similar thing too, but more, it's like a yes, no feeling, you know, like, so when you know what feels true, what feels not true. And, and you're right. Everybody's so different. Everyone's different. It's not like I can say, oh yeah, do this one thing and it's going to work for you every time. No, you need to learn how it works for you, how that feels in your body, because intuition absolutely happens in the body first, right? Before you start, you know, getting into clairaudience and whatnot and things and feeling energies and stuff, but it's always in your body.
Yeah.
So what, how do you, and I know you do a lot of things with, you know, manifesting and things like that too. So what do you feel intuition plays a role in, like, the attraction piece, like attracting abundance and manifesting your dreams and things like that?
I love this question, because I would sometimes think, well, I had that prediction, therefore I manifested it. But the prediction is one thing. And one thing that I wish more people understood is, just because you predict something doesn't mean that's exactly what's going to happen, because we always have free will. So we look at life as this web or this matrix of possibilities. I kind of look at it like a giant map of the world, right? And there's all these little streets and avenues. And if you make one decision, it goes one way. And if you go one way, the other way, it makes all these other decisions. So just because you predict something doesn't mean that's exactly what's going to happen. You can still change the outcome. You can choose a different course in accordance with your greatest good and highest potential. But what you focus on grows. So if you have a prediction and you're constantly ruminating it, right, and thinking about it and focusing it, either through anxiety or through energetic intention, that's where the manifestation piece comes in, is that's actually what you're going to call into your life.
Yeah. What do you do with your clients that are like stuck in the negative? Because I have a couple clients I'm working with right now that are like super anxious, and they can't, like, they're having such a hard time getting out of the anxiety, or like maybe they don't believe it. Like they're not 100% sure they believe that manifestation is a thing, right? Or they're not actually at that place where, and like they're trying, but they're not exactly there yet. So, you know, what do you do with those kind of people, especially when they're just learning how to tap into their intuition, especially when it comes to like wanting to achieve a goal in their life, right?
Yeah. When I was coming at this from the mindset perspective, I would do affirmations and something called flipping the script. So you would take a negative thought, like, I'm not worthy, I'm not enough. You would flip it and say the opposite, I'm worthy, I'm enough, et cetera, right? But what I found is in that moment, when I was in that deep, dark place, I didn't believe the affirmation. Exactly. They didn't ring true. And so what I'm finding is we have this like spectrum. If you could think of like all the different frequencies, like all the way down from like shame all the way up to love, there's this kind of vibrational spiral that if you're somewhere in the middle, say indifference, and you want to be like super excited and passionate, that might be a little bit of a jump, right? And so what's just like the next step? What's like one simple thing you can do to bring more joy into your life or do more self-pleasure into your life? Okay. And then what's the next step? Like, how can we incorporate like more meaningful connections in our life? Like have a deeper level of vulnerability. Okay. Now we're getting there. And then go a deep, like another layer. And so what I think what it is people have this expectation that I need to go from completely sad and depressed to completely happy, like bouncing off the walls. But there's like other layers and other steps that can help you transition there. And let's not discredit or discount the idea of a micro shift, right? Because that can also be very, very powerful. And I remember when I was in my deep, dark days of like feeling sorry for myself, why am I here on this earth, and questioning my purpose. Literally, if I could get out of bed, take a shower, brush my teeth, and eat something, like that was it. Those were my micro shifts for weeks until I felt really good about that. Then I started bringing in, like, hey, let's bring in affirmations now, because now I'm more stable. Bring in the affirmations and then go a little bit deeper. Well, now I'm doing the affirmations, so let me go a little bit deeper. Let me dream a little bit bigger. So then it's layer by layer. It doesn't have to be this quantum leap. Quantum leaps are great. They're awesome. Everybody wants one, a radical transformation, but let's not discredit these small wins throughout the day either.
I love that you brought that up, because it's so true. And I know we all want instant gratification, right? Mm-hmm. We all want it to be now, now, now. And when you're feeling like that, when you're feeling in those lower vibrational states, you know, you're experiencing it. I always tell people, I'm like, don't shove it away without looking at it first, you know, and pick that next thing that's just like slightly easier. You don't have to go from, I feel like total crap, to I'm flying high and on the top of the world. Everything's amazing. Because typically it's not going to happen. Right. Yeah. So by focusing on those little tiny things, you know, like waking up in the morning, and if you feel like crap, you know, think about like the next slightly better thing, you know, like, oh, my pillow is really soft, you know, or I'm really comfortable right now. I mean, it's just those little things. And like you said, taking those little micro things, the little micro steps really makes a difference. And it gradually will get you there. You know, but the problem is like so many people are like, oh, well, I don't feel good. So I want to change this now and immediately. And then they get frustrated and they're like, oh, well, this is, you know, a bunch of crap, or it's not working, or whatever. That's the thing, you know, when you understand vibration and frequency, that sometimes it does take those little steps to get you to that next level. And yeah, of course, we all want this big breakthrough, but that doesn't always happen. It's amazing when it does, but it's not day to day. You know, typically it's not day to day. So when you are, you know, working with people and talking about manifesting and shifting their vibration and calling things in and creating their reality, just kind of help, you know, some of my listeners explore how they can incorporate manifestation practices in their daily lives, like when they are in these moments. Like, what would you encourage people to do?
I'm so glad you asked that, because that was going to be my next question. Can I share some practices, like some really tangible things that we can do? I'll share the two things that have helped me. The first thing that really helped me, and this is where I would start if you're wanting to shift energies and call something new into your life, is just a very simple journaling practice. And you're not like married to this. You don't have to do this every day for the rest of your life, but for a season as it serves, and then continue to do this as you feel called. So I do a three-part journaling practice, but I'm feeling called to include the fourth part, which is the brain dump. So I think sometimes we get in these spiritual circles where we think like it has to be all sunshine and rainbows all the time, but like sometimes it sucks. Like, I'll be just completely honest. I woke up on the wrong side of the bed this morning and I was in a crappy mood and my husband was like, get your energy out of here because I don't want to be around that, right? So like, and I'm a spiritual mentor and coach, right? So like, it happens. It's okay. We all get there at some point.
But like
doing the brain dump is like, if you could just like unleash all of the crappy feelings and just put it out on paper or speak it into a voice note and just get it out, like get it out of your system. So much we like bottle it in, just get it out, let it go. Awesome. And then get into the next part of the practice, which is starting out with some gratitude. Again, like if you're like not super grateful, pick something simple. I'm grateful I have a pen in my hand and paper to write on. I'm grateful that I had a glass of water to drink and food to eat. Like you can be that basic. It's okay. And then pick 10 things. And if 10 is easy, go for 20. If 20 is easy, go for 30 and just stretch yourself a little bit. Like don't feel like you have to sit there for an hour thinking of 100 things, but just stretch it a little bit. See what else you can discover. And then once you have your gratitude, because gratitude is one of the most powerful vibrations, gratitude and love, get into your affirmation. So what is it that you're wanting to call into your life? And again, like feel the vibration. Don't just write it down to write it down, but like, you know, I am loved. I am worthy. I am accepted. Like actually feel it when you're writing it. I'm so loved. I'm so worthy. I'm so enough, right? Like getting into it. And then the next piece of it is this dream life into reality, writing as if that manifestation has already happened. So post-dating it using past tense, because your brain doesn't know if you're telling the truth or not. So now if you're saying, I'm so grateful that I manifested the love of my life and we have this beautiful soulmate connection and deep intimacy and they totally get me and understand me and I feel completely seen and heard. And, you know, now your brain is going to start finding opportunities and evidence to make that true. And I can look back on journals where I've done this and I can see how the things that I would write down have come true over the past, you know, several years, because I was actually putting myself in that vibration, in that frequency of doing this. And again, you can do this every day for a week. You can do this every day for a year or however long it resonates with you. Like I do this in particular seasons where I feel called to do it. And then other times I don't feel called to do it. I do something else. It doesn't matter, but it's just getting into that vibration of a practice that feels right for you so that you can get into the flow.
Yeah, I love it. I love the brain dump too, because I think it's so important. Like, and you're right. And thank you for saying that just because you're spiritual, just because you're awake, doesn't mean you don't have crappy days sometimes. You know, not everything is flowers and butterflies and rainbows. The spiritual path can be very difficult. There are times, like, and I'll tell you personally, just this last, with the eclipses we had at the beginning of the year, being in my signs, I was really moving through and healing a lot of like deep karmic family line stuff. Mm-hmm. And it was like another dark night of the soul. And like, there were days I woke up and I just felt so heavy and depressed. And I'm like, oh, what is going on? Why can't I release this? My guides are like, just let it go. Just feel it. And keep letting it go. They're like, you're just healing it. Just keep healing. I'm like, this sucks. I hate it. It's like the worst feeling in the world, you know, but the getting it out, you have to get it out, you know, allow yourself to feel and get it out of you, because you hang on to that stuff and it just creates more energy blocks. And if you leave that in long enough, if you push it down, you know, you get sick, you get ill and all kinds of problems. So I love the brain dump thing. And I love the gratitude thing. Absolutely. And then speaking it forth, I think that's perfect. It's simple and really something everybody can do. Yeah. So as you are moving through your busy life as a mom with two little kids, you know, and you're married, is your husband spiritually awake?
He is. Yeah.
He doesn't
practice like the healing modalities that I practice, but he has his own way of connecting to source and he's
that's awesome.
Yeah, he's
mine is not. Awesome that way. So it's interesting, you know, because you can still be, and this is what I tell people, like you can be on different spiritual levels and it's okay. You know, you can still work through your relationship.
Let's be real too. He still calls what I do that weird voodoo stuff. So he doesn't like really understand.
My husband calls it voodoo too. He's like,
but
he's on water
his,
out tonight.
He's on his own journey, right?
Yeah. But that's the thing. I mean, we are all on our own journeys. And so I think when it comes to relationships in particular and you know, not just manifesting, but knowing that we are contracted with certain people in our lives and that, you know, there's our own unique healing journey that we're going through and recognizing who we are, understanding who we are. We're all having our own experiences as source and moving through that. So as a mom with a spiritual awake partner, how do you manage to balance your spiritual practices, being the parent and the partner and the businesswoman and all that stuff? You know, is
this
that
question
challenging for you, or is that something you've had to kind of move through? Or
I have learned there is no such thing as balance. Balance is a myth. And this thing with balance is this idea that we have to have one part of our life over here and one part of our life over there, that I'm a business owner over here and I'm a mommy over here and I'm a wife over here and I'm a lover over there and I'm a whatever over here. But like, really what I found is true balance is leaning into the ebbs and flows of daily life, into the seasons of the year, to our life cycles, to the moon cycles, to the menstrual cycles. It's like really allowing the ups and downs to be the ups and downs without feeling like we have to level everything out. And also not separating who we are or feeling like we have to hide parts of who we are in certain areas and certain arenas, but allowing our spiritual practice to be part of our daily life and the daily life to be part of the spiritual practice. So how I show up as a mommy can also be how I show up with the clients, and how I show up with the clients can also be how I show up with, say, other relationships, and like how I show up with money can also be how I show up in the bedroom. So like they're all connected. There's no separation. And the more I just lean into everything is connected, everything is one, the more it flows, the easier it is.
Yeah, exactly. That's amazing. I love that you said that too, because that's something I think a lot of people struggle with. Like they compartmentalize things, right? But you're right. Everything is, you know, being that everything's connected, everything can flow, you know, one thing to the next. And that's, I guess, you know, with that whole phrase, how you do one thing is how you do everything, because everything is so intertwined. So when it comes to, say, your spiritual practice, a lot of people I know are just like, you know, this is my spiritual practice, and then I go about the rest of my day. But it's not, you know, you're always connected to the divine. And the more you work to enhance that intuitive connection, things will open up and you'd be amazed. It shows up everywhere in your life. You know, you are always being guided in every single moment and everything. So how would you like encourage people to really start listening to their intuition, not just to recognize and attract that soulmate love, but to really move through their day, you know, in a day that, like, you know, using your spiritual practice through everything in your life and really tapping into that intuition to start, you know, really calling in and creating what it is that they desire. Does that make sense?
I get that question. People ask me, well, how do you just like tune in? I'm like, I don't, like, I'm just always on. Like the channel's just always open. I'm always right. connected. And,
like
and
there.
I'll be completely real. Like I am not a person that will just sit in a dark room and close my eyes and like chant and meditate for 30 minutes, an hour. Like that's not my vibe. I practice something called active meditation where I'm engaged in some routine remote or rote activity where my less logical thinking brain kind of take a back seat, and then it opens up the creative channel for me to just have this conversation. So that would be my advice, is it's a conversation. It is not just spirit talking to you, but also you talking to spirit. And it's this two-way street, right? So I sometimes get the question too, how do you differentiate between prayer and meditation? And for me, like prayer is the asking, it's the questioning, it's saying like, WTF, spirit, what's going on? Like it's that kind of questioning and the conversations and having a dialogue, also expressing gratitude. But then the meditative piece of it is the listening, actually like zipping our mouths and actually listening. So what spirit is saying, if you're clairaudient, or what you're feeling in your body, or what kind of sensations are rising up for you. So I have claircognizance, clairvoyance, and clairsentience are my primary clairs. So I will see something in my third eye, I will feel something in my body, or I'll hear a message, almost like a voice speaking to me from outside of me. And just tuning in and having a conversation and understanding too, is like, you don't have to have it all figured out. You don't have to have all the answers, and it's okay to be angry. Like, have an angry conversation with God, source, universe. Like, you'll be surprised. Some really incredible stuff will come out if you stop pretending like you have to be like this peaceful, like somber being all the time.
Right. I'm so glad you said that, because I mean, I've got people who like, they feel guilt. They're like, I feel guilty because I'm mad at God, because they're like, I was told not to be, you know, that this is wrong. And I'm like, no, listen, you're legitimately feeling what you're feeling, and it's okay. You don't think that source, your guides don't know that you are having this experience, and this is part of your human, right? So I love that it's all like everything you said about, because I'm mostly clairaudient. And I'm clairsentient, a little bit clairvoyant from time to time, depending if I'm doing mediumship, I get clairvoyance images, but mostly my main go-to is clairaudience. So like, it literally, like when you were talking about the constant connection, it really is just a tuning in. Like, you just kind of like, okay, I'll ask a question and the answer just is there. Like, I can hear them just like talking. And anytime I've been upset, I've always like, listen, this is bothering me, or WTF is going on, and you know, something's happening in my life I'm not happy with. And there's always that sense of like the answer is always there. Like, they're always constantly talking to you, but you have to pay attention. Like, you have to be willing to listen. So like with the meditative piece, like I don't sit down and meditate. Like, I'll clear my energy and I'll sit down and open up, you know, clear my energy centers and sit down. But I don't have to, like, people I think you have to sit for like an hour and, you know, meditate every day and sit down. I encourage meditation because I believe we all do need to get quiet so that we can listen, especially if you're newly setting out. But I've gotten to a place now too where I literally can ask a question. It's like the answer's right there. Like, they're always talking. Like, your guidance is always speaking to you. And I love to call your intuition your spiritual GPS, right? It's like you're going to get the breadcrumbs. You're not going to see a year down the road necessarily, but you're going to always get the next steps, right? So what are, in your opinion, some just practical steps for my listeners to be able to enhance their intuition, especially when it comes to like dating and relationships? Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, enhancing your intuition. I would start, because you were talking about like spirit coming in and speaking. It's going to be really hard to hear that if you have other distractions and other people's opinions and expectations speaking into your life. So I would cut out the clutter, like all the extra noise. Think about your parents, previous romantic partners, friendships, maybe your kids if you have them, the news, social media, music, movies, school system, religious construction structures. There's anything in there that I just mentioned, or perhaps anything else you're thinking of that doesn't align with what you're wanting to create, it's time to cut it out. It's time to cut it out, because that's speaking into your life. It's going to create, like, you can only have one radio station on at a time. Otherwise, it's just nonsense noise, right? So we just want to tune into spirit. We don't want all this other noise. So cut it out so that you really can get really clear on what you want. And then the other thing is, keeping in mind, like, yes, we are putting in the order to the universe. Please send me a tall, dark, and handsome man that is also spiritually awakened. Thank you. But like, having this mantra, this belief of this or something better. This is the belief. This is what I would like to call into my life. And I am also open to receiving something better, because I trust and allow the universe to support me, and it's always going to give me what's for my greatest good. So don't have it in your mind like, I can only have this idea of love, or they can only look like this, or they can only have this kind of job. But just be really open, this or something better.
Right. I love that too. That's like one of my favorite things I always tell people, you know, I'm so happy and grateful that I have this or something better, because your high self, your soul, the universe, source knows way more about what's better for you than you think you do. And like, we only have what's limited to our earthly experience and what we remember, right? So it's like, whatever. And you think this is like this grandiose thing about what I want, and it's going to look like this and be so perfect. And when you get attached to that outcome, you're so limiting yourself, you're limiting the universe. And then, you know, that there's not something even better. Yeah. So I'm always telling people that too, you know, this or something better, because the better is usually beyond your comprehension. Is beyond your comprehension. And that's how it was when I first met my now husband, because I had gone through this process of you know, I was married before, I was divorced, I dated a while after that, and I was like, you know, I'm not doing this anymore. And I really got super clear with Source. I'm like, listen, this is what I want. Like, this is what I want. But I was very focused on things like, this is how I want to feel. You know, this is the kind of connection I want to have. And when I met this guy, I was like, he was everything on that list, plus like 20 things I hadn't even thought of. You know, like I just was blown away, blown away. So the universe absolutely will bring you even more than you could have possibly imagined, as long as you're not attached, like so vastly attached to like that one specific outcome, right?
Yeah.
So if, as we're wrapping things up, what, do you have any kind of words of wisdom, any tips or things you want to leave with anybody, any advice, any thoughts as we wrap things up around your spiritual connection and intuition and manifesting and all the good things?
Yeah. My unpopular opinion is everyone is psychic, because I get the, oh, you're psychic. I wish I was psychic. Everyone is psychic.
Everyone is psychic.
Everyone is psychic. It's just that over time and through social conditioning, we have brushes under the rug. So you are absolutely psychic. And I truly believe that you already have the answers. The answers are inside of you. It's just a matter of whether or not you're listening. So get crystal clear on what it is that you want. Cut out anything that isn't in alignment with that. And then really just start to play with the universe. The universe wants to co-create with you. So tune in and just have a conversation with it and see what beautiful memories and magic you can make together.
I love it. I love it. So I hope everyone who's listening feels inspired and empowered to ignite your own intuition. Start listening to yourself. Supercharge your own psychic ability. Because like you said, we are all psychic. We're all spirit. So we all have spiritual connection. We all have this ability. So just remember, you know, intuition is the key to manifesting not only your soulmate love, but to making your dreams a reality and in manifesting as well. So I would just love to extend my heartfelt gratitude to Nicole Starbuck for sharing her wisdom and insight with us today. And thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next week. Thank you for joining me on today's episode of Single to Soulmate. I hope the insights and guidance shared here have been valuable to you on your journey towards deep and fulfilling love. But it doesn't have to end here. Let's expand and deepen our connection beyond the podcast. Follow me on Instagram at @IAM_TanyaAlberti, where I share daily tips and techniques for tapping into your intuition, connecting to your soul and divine guidance, manifestation, healing the heart, and calling in your sacred union. It's a space where we delve into conscious relationships and all the transformative elements that contribute to creating soul-aligned partnerships. I also invite you to join my vibrant Facebook community, The Relationship Revolution, co-creating conscious connections. Now, this is not just a place for random posts or memes about being single. It is a community based on vibrational resonance for those who really desire to shift what's holding them back from truly connecting on a soul level with their perfect person. So whether you're single or already partnered, this community is for you. In the group, I host twice weekly live teachings, provide workbooks, PDFs, meditations, and a whole library of resources to support your journey to love. You'll find the link to join in the show notes. Now, if you found value in the Single to Soulmate podcast, I would deeply appreciate your support. Please take a moment to leave a review. Your feedback not only helps me improve, but it also assists me in reaching more individuals who are seeking guidance and inspiration on their own love journey. Thank you for being a part of my growing community. Remember, love is your birthright, and your soul-aligned connection is waiting for you. Stay committed to your journey and remain open to the infinite possibilities. Until next time, keep shining your light and embracing the love that is meant for you.